You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, George.
We are in Mississippi over in Biloxi, where we normally are on Fridays. What I'm trying to get at is on Fridays, we're at Deuce McAllister's Old Saint Kitchen and Tap. Today, we're in Biloxi in the Boomtown Casino, where Deuce is opening up his second restaurant here in Boomtown Casino. You cannot miss it. Right when you walk in through the front doors, you'll see all the commotion going on. Deuce is in the back signing autographs. If you want to come out and meet him, say hello to him. He's in the back. Worked with all the Saints fans. People didn't want to know that we were here or saying hi to us. Yeah. I had people literally ask me, where's the Deuce?
Yeah, there was actually a big line in the back.
Yes, the Deuce is in the
people
back.
People waiting to get autographs.
Deuce signing autographs. TV stations are here as well, celebrating the grand opening. Nice location. You can't miss it, right, Jordan? When you walk
right when you walk in, walk straight down.
It's right
at
in
the
front
very
of you
end.
When you come on in. And it's super easy to get here. Take the interstate. Take exit 46B, and it's, you know, the Interstate 110, and it'll go straight over the bridge. Right when you get over the bridge, it's the first exit, Bayview. Get off, take a left. I don't know, Jordan, about 2 minutes, tops, few blocks. You'll see Boomtown on your left, right next to the waterway on the bay, and you pull on in. And like I said, when you walk in, you will see us and the brand-new restaurant. Deuce McAllister's Old Saint Kitchen and Tap, where we are normally on Fridays, now here this Tuesday for the grand opening. Fun show lined up for you here. Coming up, it is Sean Fazan at 12:15. We'll chat with him, Fox 8 Sports. He is the analyst and likes to look at and forth and see what works, what doesn't work, why it worked. Wanted to have him on today to kind of go back and forth with him to just kind of touch on the difference between game one and game two with the Rams and Saints. Also, what did he see against the Eagles? What adjustments were made? We played you a ton of sound yesterday from Marshawn Lattimore and a bunch of other players on the defense. Cam Jordan saying, hey, look, they really didn't make that much of, adjustments per se when it came to the Eagles. It was more about just executing. Mark Ingram, he spoke in the locker room. You're going to hear from him coming up, where he just touched on what was the difference, and he was asked, how do you get off to a better quarter, and how do you get off to a faster start? And he says, just execute. So it sounds like from the Saints' perspective, it really wasn't anything that Philadelphia did. It's just they didn't execute to the best of their ability. Once they did, the game turned around, and they wound up winning the game. So we'll get into that and more. Plus, don't forget I gave you homework yesterday. At homework, I asked you, on Tuesdays, the coaching staff puts together the game plan, right? You've heard Sean Payton mention this before. Tuesdays, they put together the game plan. Then they present it Wednesday. Then they go have their first practice. So yesterday, Jordan, if you remember, I said, go ahead and think would be your game plan. Like, what are your top 3 points on the game plan? Jordan's going to tweet that out here at ESPN Radio NOLA and our Facebook page. If you're Sean Payton, you're Dennis Allen, you're sitting down today, you've looked at your tape yesterday, you've looked at the Eagles game, and you're looking at the Rams-Cowboys game, what is your game plan going to be? We don't really do storylines, right? I think we know some of the storylines. We can get into that tomorrow. But on Tuesdays, it's game plan day. They put together the game plan. What will be the game plan that you're going to practice the next 3 days? What will be the game plan you're going to walk through on Saturday? What will be the game plan that you're going into the dome in to face the Rams? Here's something that kind of popped in my head here as well, because Saints are going to be facing a team again for the second time in a postseason. Do you approach this sort of like a division opponent, right? Do you approach it sort of like last year when you played the Panthers late in the season and then wound up playing them again in the postseason? Is it sort of like that? What are the similarities in that situation, right? What are the similarities in, hey, I faced this team. Now I'm going to face them again. This time it's the postseason. Again, sort of like the Eagles. Different. Teams are a little different, obviously, since they last met in the Dome in that thrilling game that went back and forth. The Saints won by 10. So what is the game plan? First play of the game against the Eagles, Sean Payton decided to drop back, throw a deep ball. If Breeze gets the ball out there ahead of time, if Breeze gets a little more arm in it ahead of time, what takes place? It's 7-0. Ted Ginn had his defender. It's 7-0 Saints. And then the Eagles are in the hole. Instead, it's an interception, different game, right? So the game plan seemed to be aggressive. Game plan seemed to still try to attack the Eagles secondary. When you go back and look at it, which is why we have Sean Fazano at 12:15 here, is what did the Saints do successfully against the Rams? Got a couple turnovers, got the offense just flowing in that game against the Rams, right? Putting up points left and right, doing all these different little things, and maybe fortunate too, because it was back and forth. It was tied. Mark Ingram fumbled. Rams had a field goal, tried to fake it. Saints stopped it. And the Saints were still allowed to stay ahead. But that game was close. That game was tight. Now, towards the end of the first half, Alex Anzalone gets that interception, allows the Saints to put an extra touchdown in before halftime. They did put on a field goal, the Rams did, but the Saints were able to get another touchdown off of that turnover. So, Saints fans, I'm putting you part of the Saints coaching staff here. What would be your game plan? Do you try to establish the run? Do you say, you know what? Let's see what they're going to do from the get-go on Michael Thomas. It will work from there. Are we establishing Michael Thomas, who's coming off of a, you know, franchise record-setting performance in the postseason for the Saints? Are we trying to get Alvin Kamara going? Are we trying to go after the guy that, you know, wants him some gumbo? Good old gumbo. Right? Are we trying to see if that secondary is something that you can take advantage of? Obviously, you saw the Rams have a ton of success on the field against the Cowboys on the ground with C.J. Anderson and such. If you're the Rams, you're probably thinking that, right? Try to do that. So at ESPN Radio NOLA is the way to chime in over on Twitter, Facebook as well. Plus, you can give us a call, 800-998-1003. What would be your game plan going to the Los Angeles Rams? Offense and defense as well. What would it be? 800-998-1003. Ben wants to chime into the conversation right off the bat as we're here at Deuce McAllister's Old Saint Kitchen and Tap in Biloxi. What you got, Ben?
I would say the best thing to do would be spread them out. You're not going to run up the middle with Aaron Donald and Dominican Sue guarding the middle. So, you know, your best thing is to spread them out. Don't let Tlaib and Peters get press coverage. Just try to get them to, you know, with some dink and dunk passes, get them to play off a little bit to set up, you know, more edge rushes and then more longer plays later. But you got to just do those edge rushes and get Sue and Donald to spread out a little bit so you can maybe set up something over the middle. But it's going to have to be very much be patient, you know, pick your shots carefully and just execute properly.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting you say that, Ben, and be patient and careful and execute properly, because I remember, obviously, in 2009, you go back to that game, Saints and Vikings, and they were the top two teams in the NFC, and it was almost like the Saints being super, almost extra careful, right? I've mentioned several times, I mean, Drew Brees was throwing some wobbly ducks, man. He was holding on to that ball, making sure that there weren't interceptions. It was almost like a pitcher in baseball that holds on to the ball a little bit too long, you know, and it kind of hits the dirt. It's a little low. You can tell when he's holding on to that release point just a tad. Marcus Colston, I remember, kind of bobbling catches. I mean, these are two guys that never normally do that. So, I'm with you, because I do think in a game like this, you have 11 penalties, you turn the ball over, it's going to be a sad Sunday afternoon in New Orleans. I mean, I honestly believe that. So, you know, and again, conversely on the other side, you can create some turnovers, which is something that the defense has done, and you can give your offense an extra possession. Man, that might be the difference between 3 points or 7 points, and in a game, I think, against a team like the Rams, you know, it could be big. I mean, to me, one of the aspects in that game plan, you know, I'm talking about the 3 points. What would be my 3 points? I don't know if it's one. I don't know if it's two. I don't know if it's three. But of my three, I mean, I got to stop C.J. Anderson. They're clearly focusing on him. I know Gurley didn't play the last two games of the regular season, and that's why they used him extensively. But he had 100-plus yards in both of those. I know you can tell me it's the Cardinals. You can tell me it's the 49ers. It's a different defense. I get that. But in the postseason game, they did it again. 20-plus carries, 100-plus yards. So I have a hard time believing C.J. Anderson's not going to be coming off of the field or onto the field with a handful of carries here to see if they can run on the Saints. So that's immediate, right? Right off the bat, immediately in the first quarter, to me, stopping the run and then maybe making Jared Goff in the biggest game of his career in a loud environment and stadium. Let's see what you can do.
Well, you know, it's interesting you say that because, you know, we did lose Rankins, and that's a big thing. That's a big loss because the number one thing you want to do is put Jared Goff on his back a few times and rattle him, you know, especially early. He is a younger quarterback. You know, he's been sacked, but in a loud, hostile environment, being on your back is just going to shake him up even more. But Onyemata is taking Rankins' place, and he is the run stuffer. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm going to tell Onyemata, you know, hey, look, you're my stud cow so far stopping the run. C.J. Anderson and Gurley are going to be running at you. Wrap them up, you know. We don't have to worry about the rest of the guys. I mean, I do want to see Davenport out there a little bit more. I think he's an upgrade over Okafor, you know, but Okafor hadn't really done anything to lose the job. But, I mean, you got to be aggressive on defense. Cooper Kupp was a big change for them because they could just do whatever they wanted because people were so focused on him. And it left Cooks and Woods wide open. Now, without Kupp, you know, it makes the passing game almost one-dimensional. Okay, you got Woods in the slot, and you got, you know, Cooks on the side. So we just know we have to shut them down. But they definitely have to clamp down on that run. I don't think it's going to be a carbon copy of what they did last week, but they are going to be very
no doubt,
heavy.
Ben. And I definitely think it's an area that they need to look at. And look, losing Kupp was a big thing for them, and I think losing Rankins is a huge thing. He's the second leading sack, you know, sacker for you on your football team. Defense and Rankins. He had 8 sacks, so you got to replace that. Look, I get Taylor Stallworth's going to get an opportunity. Onyemata's had some games of nice play, and you know maybe you can use some support out of the you know linebacking and you know defensive backs to maybe try and stop that run. Look, the Saints have been good against the run. I get it. They haven't had to try to tackle Mr. Popeye Biscuit himself, man. And that's not me. That's Booger McFarland called him that, but that's a big boy. And again, let's see if he can do it in consecutive weeks. But if they get going and Gurley gets going, it's going to be tough. Cause I do think, especially with Kupp not there, the secondary can hold its own. I do think from that standpoint. But if they can shorten the game, keep Drew Brees and the Saints offense off the field. I mean, I'm thinking of that first quarter, right? This past Sunday. And seeing Drew Brees just kind of staring out in the space, waiting to get back on the field because the defense had trouble getting off, which was surprising when you look at the Eagles were 2 of 7 from third down. It felt like they were on the field a ton. They were just having so much success on first and second down, getting first downs on first and second down.
Yeah, I mean, Peyton was going for, I like to call them, you know, the cheap plays, but they do take their shots down the field. Peyton just wanted to get up on them early and just kind of punish them that way. It didn't really work out that way, and I just saw a lot of players out of position early in the game, kind of like what we saw in the first two games, just players out of position, not being where they were supposed to be, not looking back for the ball. Once they reset, it was good. And then my hat's off to Eli Apple because he didn't, you know, really cost us the game. Pete, more or less, you know, shot himself in the foot. But, you know, I'm looking forward to a good game, and I just think they need to, you know, spread them out, be aggressive on defense, and you know, just do your job. So
I like that. Ben, thank you for the phone call. So Ben's additions or, I guess, help to the game plan will be spread out that Rams defense and that D-line, which you did a fantastic job. Didn't give up a single sack in 36 passing attempts. Run out of a spread and also pass out of that. I like that, right? Get everybody out in space and then see how the defense tries to react on that aspect as well. Lee, before we go to break and bring in Sean Fazan, what you got for us, bud?
Hey, Gus. Look, I watched the game last week, and I'm telling you, I love the aggressiveness against the Eagles. And I don't think we should change the game plan. I think we should stay aggressive. Because if Drew connects on that touchdown pass to get, that game is not close. It's a blowout. It's a complete blowout because due to the force Philly to have to play zone and back off a little bit, that would open up the underneath game the whole game long. That one bomb would have set the tone for the whole game. So that's the difference between it being a nail bite and a blowout, that first pass. So I say that to say this. Going into this game against the Rams, what the Saints must do, what they must do, is keep a balanced attack. Don't get into the pass happy game and all of that stuff. Use a balanced attack. Attack these guys, and I'm telling you, as the game wear on, the crowd noise and everything else will start getting to the Rams' head, and that's when we're gonna take this game in the fourth quarter. We're not gonna win it in the first half, but we can lose it in the first half if we don't have a balanced game plan. We gotta stay balanced. That's the key to it.
All right, so Lee. All right, so you're suggesting to Sean Payton, as he's putting together the game plan today with this coaching staff, got to try to strive for balance, and that may mean, as you're saying, a couple of runs with Mark Ingram that you don't get a bunch, but you got to continue to do so.
Exactly. You have to do that in order to keep the team guessing a little bit. A good balance attack, you can keep the defense on the heels a little bit because they don't know what's coming next. So run the ball out of every personnel group. So when you bring a personnel group in that they think that's going to be a run, it could be a pass. So you got to keep them guessing the whole game. And we'll see a few wrinkles at the Saints Avenues, and I'm sure we'll see a few wrinkles that McVay was saving for this game. So it's going to be a chess match, but you don't want to coach yourself out of the game in the first half. So just stay sensible, keep a balanced attack, take what they give you, and be patient. Patience is the key in the first half of this game. Because you're going to open up in the second half. It will. Just got to give it a chance.
There he is, Lee. Thank you so much for the phone call. Appreciate your assistance in helping Sean Payton and the staff put together that game plan. 800-998-1003. Let's see what Sean Fazan from Fox 8 has to say next out of this break. See what he would put together game plan-wise. Rest of the show, as we said, pretty open. We got David Grubbs coming on. David Grubb. Sorry, Jordan the intern. I keep adding an S. I'm a New Orleanian. I add S's to everything. David Grubb, Crescent City Sports 115. The Pelicans actually won yesterday. I gave them no shot. They won. Anthony Davis, 46 points. We'll talk about that game with him. Gordy Rush, LSU sideline reporter, part of the LSU Sports Radio Network. We're going to talk about the Devin White situation and what the Tigers will look like next year at 2:15. Other than that, it's wide open for you folks as we're live in Biloxi, Mississippi at Deuce McAllister's Old Saint Kitchen and Tap, the opening of the brand new location. We're still going to be there on Fridays on Royal Street. Just letting you know, there's a new location right here, right next to the sports book, by the way, here on Boomtown Casino's property. Can't miss us right when you walk in. We're staring at the front doors, and it's where the rest is. Hour one is brought to you by the firm Don't Play the Game of Claims with Insurance Companies. You've been injured in an accident. Ring the King, 504-909-KING. We'll be back on ESPN New Orleans.
Hi, I'm Jason Giles with the King Firm.
In New Orleans, there's only one king to ring when it comes to personal injuries.
If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King at 909-KING.
You want a truck that has the grit to take on any task? Well, check out the 2018 Ram 1500 Bighorn Crew 4x4. This truck has the most towing and hauling capability ever in a Ram 1500. Run on over to Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat, and Homa today and get over $11,000 off MSRP at the Start Something New sales event. WAC excludes TT&L. Chrysler Capital Incentive must finance through Chrysler Capital. Non-prime bonus for 620 or below Beacon score. Price is good on listed stock numbers only and good through 131-19.
Listen up, folks. It's tax time at Homa's Clayton Homes on Highway 311 in Homa. Keep your tax refund and trade in your old trailer home for something new. Homa's Clayton Homes Call 985-872-2850 if that old trailer has got to go. Remember, keep your tax refund in your pocket. And remember Homa's Clayton Homes. It's located right off of Highway 311 in Homa. And be sure to visit them on Facebook.
T-Bob here, and with my heating and cooling system needs repair, you know I call the experts at River City's Total Maintenance. They're fast, they're professional, and they'll come out the same day you call. That's right, the same day, and they're going to get the job done right. You couple that with 2 and 3 year warranties and a 100% money back guarantee, and as you can see, you cannot go wrong, my friends. So if you need same day service on your heating and cooling systems, call River City's Total Maintenance at 504-841-3300. That's 841-3300, and tell them T-Bob sent you.
Deuce McAllister's Old Saint Kitchen and Tap on Royal Street has become a New Orleans favorite with its delicious southern coastal cuisine. And it's over 50 craft beers on tap. And now, when you travel to the Mississippi Gulf Coast, you can visit their new location inside the Boomtown Casino in Biloxi.
This is Deuce McAllister from Boomtown Casino Biloxi. Looking for a fun and inviting dining atmosphere to watch your favorite games? Stop by my newest addition to Boomtown Casino Biloxi, Deuce McAllister's Old Saint Kitchen and Tap.
Accidents and injuries can put your life on the sideline.
In New Orleans, there's only one king to ring when it comes to personal injury.
If you've been injured in an accident, ring the king at 909-KING.
Got a hot take?
I've got something to say.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003 or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA.
I'm a communicator.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Say what a brave soul here at Boomtown Casino. Gentleman came in and got an autograph from Deuce McAllister, who's in the back inside, and joined the intern. You saw he had a Bears ski cap. He got an autograph to, you know, kindly sign something for him. Sean Fazan, Fox 8 Sports, joins us. You can follow him over on Twitter at Sean Fazan, Fox 8. It's the way to do so as well. Sean, how are you this afternoon, man? Thanks for joining us.
Great to be here. How are you?
Good. Look, a simple question of the day. I gave homework to our listeners. I said, on, you know, the coaching staff puts together the game plan. So they put together what they want to do in offense, what they want to put together on third down, short yards, defense, what have you. So I'm going to make it easy. Give me the top 3 points I'm asking people. So far we've gotten balance. We've gotten, hey, you know, try to establish the run. When you take a look at that and as the team puts together their game plan, Sean, what do you think would be your top 3 points that you want to see in the Saints game plan that they're going to practice tomorrow, Thursday, and Friday and walk through on Saturday for Sunday's game?
Number one would be stop 30, Todd Gurley. That might be number 2 and 3 as well. But make Jared Goff beat you. Stop Todd Gurley at all costs. If it means cross the line of scrimmage, so be it. If it means stunning, whatever the case may be, I know it's going to be tough without Sheldon Rankin, but you got to do your best to stop Todd Gurley. Offensively, the Saints really started to run the ball well in the second half.
When you take really a look back at that 45-35 game, Sean, back earlier in the season, I mean, Todd Gurley had some success, right? I mean, you saw him get an 8-yard TD run in that first quarter, but for the most part, that was it. I mean, that was the extent of his stay there. How surprising has the addition of C.J. Anderson been to you? And when you looked at that game against the Cowboys with what the Rams did, no touchdowns by Jared Goff, and they still wound up winning a divisional playoff game.
Yeah, I think he adds a different dynamic to that offense, obviously. It's a two-headed monster to stop the ground game, and certainly he's a guy that, given that opportunity, I guess later in the season, he was able to cash in and take advantage. He's a guy you have to game plan for, obviously, and he's a guy, if you don't, look what happened. I mean, the Cowboys and those flouts, I mean, that's a, as we all saw, that is a very well-respected, good defense with two very good linebackers, or three very good linebackers, if you count Sean Lee as well. But, look, he changes their dynamic. He can run the inside zone. He's a little bit of a thicker guy, but still, he's capable, and he's a guy that, you know, you can't just kind of take the play off because Gurley's out of the game, because he can certainly beat you in a different way.
Sean, I think one of the things, too, when you remember from that game is I remember, to me, the fourth quarter. Yes, it was impressive that first half. Saints 14 in the first quarter, 21 in the second quarter. They put up 17 total at halftime. The Anzalone interception. But, man, I remember that second half in which they came back, tied the game, and it was what I thought that game was going to be. What's the one thing you remember from that first meeting?
Yeah, that's it. I mean, I remember how they raced out to that 35-14 lead. And, you know, Jared Goff, for all his, you know, people are kind of doubting him a little bit, but he was able to lead his team back under a very kind of raucous crowd. Now, it's 10 times more raucous this Sunday, obviously, but still they were able to battle back, and the Saints kind of withstood the blow and delivered kind of their final knockout punch, that throw to Michael Thomas at the end there over Marcus Peters. So, that game really felt like a playoff game, and it felt like the Saints were going to run away with it. And then all of a sudden, the Rams battled back, which you would expect from a very good football team. And, you know, the Saints were able to withstand it and finish things off. So I think that the way that game played out was probably like we all thought when by the time it was done. Now, the process to get there was a little bit different, but still, by the time it was all done, you look back and thought, okay, we may see that team again, we being the Saints, facing the Rams. And sure enough, they for a chance to go to the Super Bowl.
Speaking with Sean Fazan, Fox 8 Sports here, just two more questions for you. You know, one of the things that's surprising when I look back and I pull up that box score, Sean, you had 76 passing attempts between both quarterbacks. Both run teams got, you know, had some success. The Saints rushed for 141 yards, Rams for 92, Gurley had 68 of that. No sacks. I know we made a big deal of it because the Rams went out and got a first-round pick on that D-line to come after Breeze the week before. But no sacks for the Rams, no sacks for the Saints. Well, was that a surprising element to it? 76 passes, nobody got to the quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, it always is. When you have that many pass attempts, that many opportunities, and it's not like they were just running checkdowns. I mean, they were pushing the ball down the field, which will require a bit of a longer drive, a bit of a longer hold in terms of protection to hold up. From the offensive line. I think that's a storyline. I think because of the injury to Andrus Pete, which his game was so bad Sunday, you knew something had to be off. It wasn't just poor performance, and obviously, sure enough, he had the wrist injury, but he had to overcome that. No one's sending the Saints any sympathy cards right now. So I do think that's a storyline with Rankins being out, but also Pete being hurt with Aaron Donald, the best three-technique defensive tackle in football, maybe the best defensive player overall in football to have to go against. So I do think that's a huge storyline heading into Sunday against the Rams.
Sean, that's my final question to you. To me, that is absolutely a top storyline, if not number one to me. It's all the other stuff is football related. If Andrus Pete struggled that much with his hurt hand, and we find out that he had surgery in the bye week, and he's going up against who you just said, I mean, if I'm Sean Payton, do I go with a healthier body? I know he's not Andrus Pete. And who's to fill for Rankins here?
I'm sorry. I missed that last part of the question there. You talked about a possible backup to Pete. Is that what you said?
Right. What I'm saying is, would you consider going to a healthier player and Pete's backup if Pete can't go because of his hand? And then what do I use and who do I use to try to replace Rankins?
Yeah, great point. Look, I would roll with Pete until he proves he can't do it. I don't think he can survive another game like he had last week. But still, even if he's a little banged up, it's probably better than putting in a guy that's never played a playoff game before. I know it was Cameron Tom that was up last week. But if he can't get the job done, then perhaps he turns to his backup and hopefully the youngster can, you know, hold his own, or maybe it's Jermaine Bushrod. Who knows? As to the opposite side of the ball, look, I think David Onyemata has had some wild moments this year. Now, he's not quite as consistent a football player as Sheldon Rankins, but he's had his wild moments. But I do look for him to step up probably the most in Sheldon Rankins' absence. But Tyler Davidson played well. And, you know, we haven't really said much about him, but Taylor Stallworth may have as big an impact of this rookie class as anyone else.
Yeah.
Because he fought his way onto the roster as an undrafted free agent, the only one, and has really stuck around and played well.
There he is. Sean Fazan, Fox 8 is the way to follow over on Twitter. You can catch him, of course, over on Channel 8 throughout the rest of the week. Sean, what are the shows, man, you guys are going to be doing this week?
Yep, we got Fox 8 Overtime tonight. We have Game Plan 10:30, and we have at 10 to 1 is our tailgate special. 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. So we're gonna get everybody all nice and ready for what should be a very interesting and fun NFC Championship game on Sunday. So I'm very excited to see this atmosphere.
Yeah, no doubt, Sean. I mean, it's special, man. Second time in our lifetimes and for a lot of, well, for any Saints fan in franchise history to experience an NFC Championship game week for the right to go to the Super Bowl in your home stadium. Thanks, Sean. Appreciate the time this afternoon.
Thanks, bud.
Sean Fazan, Fox 8, is the way to catch him over on Twitter. We're live at Deuce McAllister's Old Saint Kitchen and Tap in Biloxi, Mississippi, in the Mississippi location. Can't miss us when you walk in here at Boomtown. Super easy to get here, I-10 to 110, and it's the Bayview exit. It's the first exit right when you come on the other side of the bridge in the bay. You can see it on your left, by the way, when you're going over the bridge. It's not even 2-3 blocks, I guess. When you park, it's right in front of you. Deuce McAllister signing some autographs inside the restaurant here as well. We're just outside the little gate area. And stop on in. Have a little lunch with us. So come in and get a little signature from Deuce as we get you ready for that game on Sunday. Question of the day that we're throwing out there. What is your game plan? What would be your top 3 points to the Sean Payton, Dennis Allen game plan? Today is Tuesday. It's when the coaches put together their game plan that they're going to use on Sunday. Help them out. Don't forget, Hour 1 is brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. You've been injured in an accident, ring the King. 504-909-KING. And let them know you heard it on the Sports Hangover right here on ESPN New Orleans.
Stuck in a state of falling behind? Struggling to keep up with your kids, finances, and insurance? Let State Farm agent Ashley Barrios and Cutoff help you to simplify and get to a better state. Because with Ashley Barrios handling your home, auto, and life insurance, you'll have more time for everything else. More money, too. Because adding State Farm policies could mean earning discounts worth up to 40%. Call State Farm agent Ashley Barrios today and get to a better state with State Farm.
At Thibodeau Regional, we're proud to announce we've received HealthGrade's 2017 Outstanding Patient Experience and Patient Safety Excellence Awards. What's more, we're the only hospital in Louisiana to achieve both awards 4 years in a row. Why should this matter? Because it confirms two things: our commitment to quality and your satisfaction, both very important when it comes to your family's health care. Thibodeau Regional, once again recognized by HealthGrades for providing outstanding quality care. For more info, go to Thibodeau.com.
Are you looking for a delicious meal and a great spot to watch all the games? Deuce McAllister's Old Saint Kitchen and Tap at 132 Royal Street right off Canal is that and a whole lot more. With outstanding Southern Coastal cuisine dishes such as shrimp and grits, more than 50 craft beers on tap, 15 TVs, craft cocktails, and breakfast, lunch, and dinner, Old Saint is not your average sports bar. Enjoy the 2-for-1 draft happy hour from 3 to 7 weekdays and make your reservations through Open Table or visit online oldsaint.com.
Sign up for the South LaFouche Diamond Club Winter Baseball Camp Saturday, January 19th, hosted by head coach Andrew Revalier, assistant coaches Chandler Guidraz, Corey Helmer, and Brian Shassaw, and assisted by the South LaFouche Tarpon Baseball Team. Open to ages 5 through 14. That's South LaFouche Diamond Club Winter Baseball Camp January 19th from 9 a.m. until 3 p.m. at the La Rose Regional Park. Registration begins at 8 a.m., $60 per player. Bring your glove, bat, cleats, and hat. For more information, contact Coach Revalier at sltarpinbaseball@gmail.com.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Welcome back, Sports Hangover. Got a lot to get into today. David Grubb coming in. At 1:15, we'll talk about the Pelicans' win over the Clippers. There you go. Maybe that would be the thing that I just need to do. I had zero faith in them winning at the Clippers yesterday. Anthony Davis, though, kind of helps when you go for 46 points. We'll talk about that win with him. Gordy Rush coming up at 2:15. We'll talk about Devin White's decision, what the Tigers will lose to the draft, and what the Tigers will gain back by not going to the draft. We'll get a quick little overview with Gordy, part of the LSU Sports Radio Network, coming up at 2:15. We're live at Deuce McAllister's Old Saint Kitchen and Tap. Deuce McAllister behind us, signing some autographs. And if you want to come on in, you'll be here for a bit. Jordan, the intern, posting some pictures over at ESPN Radio NOLA. You can go ahead, go get an autograph. I mean, it's, have them sign your, you want to give, no one wants your autograph. Notice there's no one in line in front of the table in front of you. How many people are in front of it? I'm glad you took out a pen, but Joey, he took out a pen because he's waiting. Let's see if that pen gets used today as well. But 800-998-1003 at ESPN Radio NOLA. And, of course, over on Facebook is a way to check out our question of the day, which is, it's a simple one because I gave it to you yesterday for homework, right? Tuesday is game plan day. What would be your top 3 points of emphasis on the game plan? Tuesdays, you put together your special teams, your third down, your red zone, your goal line, the game plan. Everything is come up with today. And then they will practice it on Thursday, on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, walk through it on Saturday, and then put it out there on Sunday. So what do you do? What's your top 3 points of emphasis? Right? I mean, this is what the coaching staff sit down at the table and go, all right, how are we beating them? I think the first thing you have to do is you look back, right? You look back at that game. What worked? What didn't work? How much of that do you want to use what worked? Because they're probably going to look at it and try to stop what worked. So I've been thinking, is it more like a divisional game? It's interesting, isn't it? The Saints are playing for the second consecutive week, a team they played in the season. So it's do you approach it almost like a divisional game, right? Divisional opponent the second time around. You played the Panthers 3 times, played them twice right before the postseason. Then they had to play them again, a week later, and play them in the playoffs. That game was closer, wasn't it? So what would be the points of emphasis? 800-998-1003, running back Mark Ingram on the Rams.
They're a good team, clearly. Got a good defense, explosive offense, great coach. So we're going to have to, get our game plan together, look at the tape, what we had success on, what we didn't have success on, and try to prepare to have a good game.
Is somebody,
That's running back Mark Ingram on the Rams. Chew, thanks for giving us a call here, man, on the Sports Hangover. What you got? What's your points of emphasis? What are you suggesting needs to wind up on the Saints game plan?
I think number one, Gus, stop Gurley and the running game. I think number two is contain their defensive lines. And I think three is make sure Sean Payton puts in a lot of double moves for Ted Ginn on Marcus Peters.
Ooh, I like that. I don't know when you said his name. I was just thinking, Reggie Bush has come out with the bat. Do you dare walk out with a gumbo pot? You know what I'm saying? I mean, he wants to go have a bowl of gumbo. Do you dare run out the tunnel with the gumbo pot and one of those wooden, paddles?
I think somebody gets him rattled before the game even starts, because he's a hothead. If you get him going, get his juices flowing, he's gonna make mistakes during the game, because he likes to bite. That's why I said give him double moves. If you get Ginn on a couple of comeback routes, and then you do that comeback and go, it'll be touchdown at least 2 times in the game.
One of the things that's interesting is, Jude, that I'm looking at his, he's ready to eat or something. It's game week. He's ready for some gumbo or something. So I'm with you. Philadelphia Eagles, they'll probably play the revenge thing. They're looking forward to it, to getting a second crack as well. What's the one thing you remember that stood out the most to you, Chu, from the first meeting between the two teams?
I think it was containing Gurley, because early looked like he was going to have a big game. And then, I think it was the first drive. After the first drive, I mean, we shut him down and, made him a non-factor. I think also the fact that Cooper Kupp's not going to be there, I think this game, and I don't want to sound overconfident, but I do think this game is going to look more like before they started making that comeback. Because without Cooper Kupp, I couldn't tell you who their third receiver is. He didn't make very many plays against Dallas, if I recall. I think he made one first down that I can remember against Dallas. But, you know, Robert Woods is going to get his. Cooks is going to get his, but, you know, Cooks soft. That's the reason we got rid of him. So Cooks doesn't scare me.
You know, it's funny you say that, you know, about Brandon Cooks here, too, because I think one of the things that you can take advantage, if you can say take advantage, is of it from that. But it's funny, I'm watching on one of the TVs here at Boomtown, and they're, you know, stuff from that. There's Marcus Peters talking about Sean Payton, his thing that he had to say, and, you know, he's looking forward to it, meeting and having that bowl of gumbo with him. Payton was talking smack to him. And this is all because Sean Payton, after in the postgame, said he really liked that. It's missing. So I'm with you. I think point number one of three, man, it's got to be stopping the run.
Yeah, man. Stop the run, contain Gurley and that little bowling ball. We never had to play him when he was in Carolina this year. But, you know, I think what they did to Dallas, I just think Dallas overlooked them as far as being overconfident because they them boys, you know, and them boys got ran over. I think, a little concern that Sheldon Rankin isn't going to be there, but I do think our defensive tackle depth has gotten so much better over the past couple years that, you know, we'll still be able to do a good job of containing Gurley.
You know what, True, thank you for the phone call. Appreciate it. Plus, here's the other thing. Regardless, if Rankins was there, chances are you're still going to give some run support to try to stop to Gurley, right? So that's why I don't think the game plan really changes with Rankins there or not, because even if he's there, you're still going to need population to the football. You're going to need more than one person to try to contain Todd Gurley. The guy can run you over. He can run past you. And C.J. Anderson, I mean, look, I'm just being honest. How many single people can take him on? I mean, he was bulldozering people and running people over. So I think you would still do the same sort of game plan, right? You're still going to want multiple defensive backs, linebackers attacking. You want multiple, you know, whatever jerseys you're going to wear, black or whatever. Whatever jerseys the Saints are going to wear, you want multiple hats on the football to contain them. I'm with you. I think it was the credit I said yesterday. As a matter of fact, that game plan in that game against the Cowboys, right? And he took that pressure off of Jared Goff. Make a play or two, he can really help. Wasn't bringing him back like he did against the Saints. 40. He didn't get sacked. He threw one pick, and that was a tremendous interception by Alex Anzalone that reached up full extension and went up and got it. So I thought he looked great, man, against the Saints. I thought he made some great throws, some good dimes, and that's why I remember watching that game going, this team is, they're right there with the Saints, man. I mean, again, this is a team, New Orleans, that we were hoping they would lose one more or two. We didn't see them losing two more games, right? I mean, we didn't know if we could get the one seed. So that's still the same team. Still the same team. Uptown Ruler, what you got for us today on the Sports Hangover, bud?
Hey, man, contain Anderson and contain the girl on the team, and you'll have it beat. And then keep him in the pocket and tackle him and make him fumble the ball. Put their offense on the sidelines, keep it on the sidelines, and you win the game.
Uh-huh.
And don't turn over the ball.
Have
ball
sound tackling.
Ball.
Forcing a turnover.
Yeah.
Okay. I said sound tackling, ball security, and as you're mentioning, maybe ball control.
Yeah, contain Anderson and contain the girl on the team, and you got them beat. I mean, I'm sorry, Shelton Rankin's ain't going to be in there.
Uptown ruler with his keys.
But we got Tyler Davis, and we got some other ones in there. So, I mean, and then we got my boy up in there, Jordan up in there. So I think he should be switched to defensive end because I think he can get to him quicker then.
Well, you have seen Cam Jordan move up and down the line, and I wouldn't be surprised if they don't try to do a lot of different things like that.
Yes, sir. And the men will
different
be back
wrinkles
at work.
From both teams.
I hear men at work back there with you. The men will be back at work Sunday.
There it is. Thank you for the phone call, Uptown Ruler. We're live at Deuce McAllister's Old Saint Kitchen and Tap, where Hour 1 is presented by the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. You've been injured in an accident, ring the King, 504-909-KING. And check them out online at kinginjuryfirm.com. We'll be back as we're live at Deuce McAllister's Old Saint Kitchen and Tap in Biloxi, Mississippi, inside the Boomtown Casino on ESPN New Orleans.
Warehouse has been providing the highest quality name brand batteries from AC Delco. Batteries for marine, car, truck, SUV, RV, ATV, motorcycle, golf cart, and dry cell batteries. They have Baldwin filters and more. Fleet Supply has your belt supply needs, including automotive, lawn equipment, agriculture, marine, and industrial. They have one of the largest belt selections and inventory in South Louisiana, located on Venture Boulevard in Houma, or call 985-868-0430 or check them out on Facebook.
Lady of the Sea After Hours Clinic has moved to the new Lady of the Sea Cutoff Clinic, located directly in front of the hospital off of Highway 1 in Galliano. The same After Hours staff will continue to see patients from 5 to 9 p.m. weekdays and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on weekends with no appointment necessary. Now the convenience of a walk-in clinic with a pharmacy at the same location is available for our community. Same provider in a new environment. Lady of the Sea After Hours Clinic, here when you need us.
We all make promises, big and small, tested over time and distance, tried by circumstances and decisions.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
I do solemnly swear to bear true faith and allegiance.
To help you when you're in need.
To tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
To be considerate and caring. Courageous and strong.
For better.
For worse.
In sickness and in health.
To love and cherish.
To be your loving, faithful friend.
Partner.
Child.
Parent.
Neighbor.
One of our most important commitments is to support our nation's veterans. Learn how you can help a veteran going through a difficult time by visiting MakeTheConnection.net.
Drop-In Fix is Bayou Country's premier technology one-stop shop. From iPhones and Galaxies to iPads and tablets, Drop-In Fix has quick turnaround service for all your devices. Stop by our Houma or Thibodeau locations or find us on Facebook. From laptops and desktops to TVs and printers, Drop-In Fix can get your devices back up and running in no time. Drop-In Fix, the Tri-Parish's premier technology one-stop shop.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Here in New Orleans, Pelicans getting 46 points from Anthony Davis, 16 rebounds. Julius Randle scoring 27 as the Pels held on after blowing a 20-point lead in the second half. They beat the Clippers 121-117, 1-1 now in this 5-game, 11-day road trip. Again, they had that game against the T-Wolves and couldn't close out, couldn't finish. So there you go from that aspect on it. The final minutes of the game is just an issue right now. Coach Alvin Gentry.
Well,
You know, I thought we did a good job. Obviously, I didn't think they were going to lay down and die. And, you know, I've never seen one of Doc's team ever do that anyway. So I thought we became a little less aggressive, you know, and that got us in some trouble. But I thought at the end we did a good job of scoring, and, you know, when we really needed to, you know. And I thought defensively we were pretty good at the end, where we allowed them to get off shots, but they were really tough, contested shots. So, and we rebounded the basketball, and then obviously AD went to the line and made the free throws.
And I think one of the important aspects of this too, and we've been talking about this, is the ability, again, to me, Julius Randle has been so important this year. I don't think anybody saw that signing being as big as it was. I thought, I guess they hoped it would, right, to be the complement and pairing with Anthony Davis, but he and Davis scored 24 of the team's 28 points in the third quarter. So that's how they stretched that lead to 20. Went away in the fourth. David Grubb coming up at 18. We'll talk a little bit more about this win. And then tomorrow they take on the Golden State Warriors. Question of the day we're throwing out there for you folks out there at ESPN Radio NOLA and on Facebook. It's real simple. I want aspects of your game plan. It's Tuesday. This is when the coaches put together their game plan offensively, defensively. Jordan, the intern, did you see what Saul's game plan is? He gave me a 7-point game plan.
Okay.
7 points. Ready? Win time of possession, says Saul. That's
agreed.
Number one.
Agreed.
Two, stop the run.
Agreed.
Takes away the Rams' play action pass.
That's actually one of my key points.
Number three, hit golf often.
I said that in the car.
Number four, win third down.
Hmm.
2 of 7, right? The Eagles are 2 of 7 on third down this past week. Number five, win the turnover battle. That's going to be key in this game. Saints got points off of the Anzalone interception. The Rams passed up and faked the field goal on the Mark Ingram fumble. Remember? It's a 7-point different there. Number six, be physical with the Rams receiver. I was saying that too. I think not having Cup, I think it's big for them, right? I think it's big for them. I think Lattimore is going to look forward to that matchup. Perhaps, I don't know if you chase him or you know, where Cooks goes, Lattimore goes, or do you just keep Lattimore on that side of the field? And if that's the case, the Rams are going to try to put Cooks on Apple. And I thought somebody called yesterday, right, and said they want to give a pat on the back to Eli Apple.
They did.
Because of the performance that he did this past game. Number six, as I said, be physical with the Rams. Number seven, play a clean game. Oh, man.
I think it's going to be far from
11
yeah.
penalties. No, but oh, okay. What he's saying is,
all right, penalty-wise.
Yes,
all right, okay.
No, a clean game means the yellow hankies.
Okay, yeah.
Now, again, a handful of those were Andres Pete, what, five? Four or five, at least, were there?
It was four.
The offensive line probably had...
I mean, Pete gave up a touchdown. He cost us a touchdown, brought back...
That's what I'm getting
at. Taysom Hill to
Alvin Kamara. That's going to be sort of key to do that. Ninth Ward Slim on Twitter. Spread the ball around while picking up five-yard passes to the backs and other wide receivers not named Michael Thomas. Michael Thomas can get his third down catches, but the other wide receivers will need to step up. Didn't it feel like Traquan Smith got more than one catch in that game? Right? The box score says one catch, 10 yards. It felt like Traquan Smith was involved a lot more than that. Didn't it? Or is it just me?
I think it's just you. I
really?
Only saw him catch that one.
He had an end around, but I mean, he had that catch, but I thought it was a big catch. I don't know.
The end around wasn't that big though.
Okay, but still, it just seemed like he touched the ball more than twice. I don't know. Keith Kirkwood. Right? Getting the touchdown on fourth down. Decided to go with him there.
Big play.
Daniel on Twitter says, target Marcus Peters, number one, as
I completely agree. I think you go at him first. First possession of the game, you go deep
again
at Marcus Peters.
I tell you what was interesting was Brian Inola sent me, I mean, immediately the second the guy put it up there yesterday on Twitter.
It's gumbo week.
Yeah, it's gumbo
week. And then he immediately deleted it.
And immediately. But here it is. Here's the beauty of Twitter. It can get screenshotted, right? Michael Thomas, he deleted a tweet. He and Michael Thomas have tweeted tweets that had then been deleted. So that's all you need to know. There's no love lost between these two teams.
No.
Okay.
None.
But here's the thing. You can use that aggressiveness, right? Here's one of my keys, right? One of my shots. And look, one shot in a game can make all the difference. Do you wait in the first, second, third, fourth quarter when you do it? A double move on Marcus Peters. It's coming. It's coming. He wants to make a play. He wants nothing more than to take it back to the house. He wants nothing more than to at least get a pick and then stare at Sean, right? Do a little spoon into a bowl of go. He's going to do that if he makes a play.
Absolutely.
Right? I mean, if it's an incompletion and he had nothing to do with it, as Robert Meacham always says, he's going to celebrate. He's looking, he's daydreaming of celebrating a big play. I'd use it against him. He's going to be aggressive, isn't he? He's going to be aggressive. The old in and whoop, pump fake.
It's coming.
It's coming.
100% it's coming.
It's coming. Let's just hope Drew can, how do I say this, kindly just make sure the ball's there this time.
Well, players that are on the team that have seen it 1,000 times don't know it's coming.
Maybe it still can't stop it. Maybe it comes from Taysom Hill. I think Taysom Hill throws another bomb in this game.
It's there every week like you said yesterday.
I think it's there every single week. It's there. And the guy just has a night. It's one of those where, you know what, you don't need to be open. Throw it 15 yards to a spot and just tell that person in the huddle, I'm throwing it at the 5-yard line. When you get to the 15, I'm airmailing it. Go. just get to the 5. You know? He has that kind of arm. I mean, he really honestly does. It's huge. Huge arm. Daniel says, target Marcus Peters, test the D-line up the middle for the running game, let our secondary receivers cause more damage while Thomas will more than likely be double-teamed. Okay, I'm glad he brings this up because I'm going to address this here coming up at the top of the hour. If I'm the Rams, what's my number one thing I'm trying to take away right now from the Saints?
Michael Thomas.
Is it that over the run?
100%.
I agree. To me, it doesn't seem like the Saints, I actually think if that's the case and the Saints come out and try to run the football sort of like the Rams did last week, you might win the game going away. If I'm the Rams, I can't let 13 beat me. I can't have them have 12 catches.
You can't get big chunk
because,
yards.
Because, and again, that's what I keep saying. Remember, I always reference this when it comes to Julio Jones. Julio Jones can have double-digit catch games and he doesn't beat the Saints. I don't know why. Well, I know why. Because most of the times he never get in the end zone. Michael Thomas can get in the end zone. Michael Thomas is a slant waiting to happen. Michael Thomas is a third down conversion walking, right? That's why his catches and his play.
He's an automatic touchdown if you go up to him.
Well, that's what I'm getting at. So, because I was thinking about this, like if the Saints eventually win and the Patriots eventually win, I mean, you're going to see the defense that Bill Belichick put on Jimmy Graham years ago in Foxborough. They're going to have somebody on the line, and in 5 yards behind that, they're going to have the linebacker waiting to chip you, and then the safeties. They bracketed Jimmy Graham couldn't get, and it wasn't just because of Jimmy Graham. There was nowhere for him to go. They flat out said, somebody else beat us, right?
Because I know Jimmy Graham isn't the physical player.
You're absolutely right. He shied away from that physicality.
So that might be where it's a little different with Michael Thomas.
And it is different, Jordan. See, look at you. It's almost like you read my notes here, because the thing is, pass interference takes place, right? Yes, in the postseason, maybe they allow a little more of the hand check, and they sort of did with the Eagles and the Saints this past week. You didn't see a lot of the pass interference, defensive holdings and stuff. But, hey, all it takes is a defensive holding. All it takes is a Rams, Marcus Peters hand inside the jersey. Even if it's a 5-yard penalty, that's an automatic first down. That can keep the chains moving. So I hear what Daniel's saying, but I almost think I come out early. Okay, if I'm Sean Payton, I'm tempted. As much as I want to establish the run and I'm almost tempted if I'm Sean Payton to absolutely feature Thomas as much as I can in that opening drive or two, because then you're going to tell me what you're doing.
Exactly.
You get what I'm getting at? So,
I agree 100%.
And I can do that a number of ways. Slant, double move, an out. A toss, a wide receiver screen. I can get him the ball in a number of ways, different style of formations that give me a quick idea and snapshot. Are we being doubled? Are we being bracketed? Is it too deep? Is it, dime? I mean, the Eagles were in a lot of dime. early in the game. I mean, so what are they trying to do? Are they to try to get and try to get rid of the ball? I just think if I can do that, that might give me the tell, because I always have that ace up my sleeve, and that's number four. I'm going to go to that play, and I need to check out. I'm going to 41. Here's my walking check. I mean, what Daniel is saying, I do think other guys are going to have to make a step up and play, but Thomas, you know, you stay with it, right? If you've been injured in an accident, don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. Hour One's brought to you by the King Firm. Ring the King, 504-909-KING. We are live at Deuce McAllister's Old Saint Kitchen and Tap. Stop on in. Deuce McAllister is behind signing autographs. Come in, say hi to him. That's what he's there for. He's got a stack of things they can sign. Even if you don't have anything for him to sign, it's right there. Come on by, say hi, and check out the new location. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.